Greetings. This is Christine Hemp. Welcome to the Hempsonian Institute of Higher Yearning. This program is a one-hour journey into the realm of the senses. After all, we are the ear, the eye, the touch, the taste, and the scent. So wherever you are, in your car, in the bathtub, making a sandwich, or puttering in your shop, relax, come along, enjoy the ride. Welcome back. I'm delighted you've joined me at the Hempsonian Institute of Higher Yearning. Today's program will illuminate the power of touch, a sense that has deep metaphorical as well as literal implications. Diane Ackerman, in her ornate and luscious book called A Natural History of the Senses, says that our skin stands between us and the world. And she reminds us that language is steeped in metaphors of touch. I mean, we call our emotions feelings, and we care most deeply when something touches us, she says. Problems can be thorny, ticklish, sticky, or need to be handled with kid gloves. Well, when we're in love, we also tell people, hey,
I shall not feel good. I feel good. Like a new bit of wood, yeah, 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 yeah.
That was James Brown singing, I Feel Good. So our feelings and our skin involve touch. And really, our skin, it imprisons us, as Diane Ackerman says, but it also gives us individual shape. protects us from invaders, cools us down, or heats us up as need be. And you know, our skin produces vitamin D as well. It's kind of strange how the shape of us is formed by the largest organ on our body. I once heard a story about the abstract painter Kandinsky when he was in the hospital in Russia at the beginning of the last century, and he uttered these frightful cries about his skin and being exposed. And I've never forgotten that line, which is in the following poem that I wrote. I call the poem An Abstract Art. When the painter Kandinsky lay in hospital, aching from some mysterious complaint, he wept to think about the surgeon's knife, about being wheeled into a room without intersecting circles and squares in the cool blues that he loved, the altered shapes in which he lived. Nurses cooed and patted his shoulder, but he was not assuaged. His cry spattered off the pale green walls and smeared the yellow corridors, stopped those who heard its pitch and timbre, its truth, if not the implication. "You do not understand," he moaned, and the words, like a jazz refrain, traveled up the vents and out the windows, through the operating room, behind the laundry door. "I have no skin. I have no skin," he said. Throwing off the nurses, he clutched himself as if his arms could wrap his torso in the layer of gauze he needed to face those unknown places. What they didn't see was that he knew his own condition. Outside his picture plane, without a brush and a palette knife, he lay naked and alone. Arcs and lines could not stay the bleeding edges. Random forces conspired to erase him from creation.
Where are we? What the hell is going on? The dust has only just begun to fall. Crop circles in carpet, sinking feeling. Spin me round again and rub my eyes. This can't be happening when busy streets amiss with people would stop to hold their heads heavy. Hide and seek. Trains and sewing machines. Appear on walls where pleasure moments hung before the takeover, the sweeping insensitivity of this still life. They were here. what you say. Oh, that you only meant well, well, cause you did, what you say. That it's all for the best, cause it is, what you say. That it's just what we need, you decided this, what you say. Did she say? Rinse and notes keep falling out your mouth. Mid-sweet talk news, people are gods. Speak no feeling, no, I don't believe you. You don't care a bit, you don't care a bit. Rinse and notes keep falling out your mouth. Mid-sweet talk news, people are gods. Speak no feeling, no.
That was Imogen Heap, the lovely young British performer and composer who does an amazing thing with touch herself. She's got electronic equipment all around her when she performs and records, and she uses sequencers and records her voice, then adds layers. She also has this MIDI keyboard that she uses actually to chord her own voice, so she runs her voice through the keyboard. Anyway, it's quite an amazing thing because her performance is, if you see it on YouTube, which I have not seen her live, but I've seen her on YouTube, and she's working this technology while singing and harmonizing with herself. Quite extraordinary. You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 Radio Port Townsend. This is Christine Hemp, and you are listening to the Hempsonian Institute of Higher Yearning. If you've just joined us, we are talking today about the sense of touch. And since this is a show about all the senses, we want to give each sense its due. And when we talk about keeping in touch, we have a whole mental idea about connection to our friends and even to the public. Sometimes keeping in touch means knowing too much.
Everybody knows the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. And everybody. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody's got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody's talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long-stemmed rose. And everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful, give or take a night or two. And everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows, everybody knows, that's how it goes. And everybody knows, everybody knows, that's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. And everybody knows that you live forever. Oh, and you've done a lot or two. And everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe's still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. And everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows.
That was Rufus Wainwright singing a song by Leonard Cohen called Everybody Knows. We're talking about the sense of touch today. And how can we talk about touch without talking about kissing? And my producer, George Resendez, reminded me of the great, great movie Cinema Paradiso, when the priest had criticized the films and all of the kissing scenes that had to be cut. And the young boy in the movie is the only one who gets to see those scenes, kiss after kiss after kiss after kiss. When we're young, kissing seems almost the grandest thing of all. And there's a poem by my friend and teacher, Marie Howe. I think you'll like it. It's called Practicing. I want to write a love poem for the girls I kissed in seventh grade. A song for what we did on the floor in the basement of somebody's parents' house. A hymn for what we didn't say but thought. That feels good, or I like that. When we learned how to open each other's mouths, how to move our tongues to make somebody moan. We called it practicing, and one was the boy, and we paired off. Maybe six or eight girls, and turned out the lights and kissed until we were stoned on kisses, and lifted our nightgowns or let the straps drop, and now you be the boy. Concrete floor, sleeping bag or couch, playroom, game room, train room, laundry. Susan's basement was like a boat, with booths and portholes instead of windows. Cynthia's father had a bar downstairs with stools that spun, plush carpeting. We kissed each other's throats. We sucked each other's breasts, and we left marks and never spoke of it. Upstairs, outdoors, in daylight, not once. We did it, and it was practicing. And slept sprawled so our legs still locked or crossed, a hand still lost in someone's hair. And we grew up and hardly mentioned who the first kiss really was. A girl like us, still sticky with the moisturizer we'd shared in the bathroom. I want to write a song for that thick silence in the dark and the first pure thrill of unreluctant desire just before we made ourselves stop. Thank you.
embrace me, my sweet embrace of a you. Embrace me, my irreplaceable you. Just to look at you, my heart grows tipsy in me. You and you alone ring out the gypsy in me. I love all the many charms about you, above all, I want my arms about you. Don't be a naughty baby, come to me. Come to me, do my sweet embrace of the you. send me. You and you alone. Bring out the gypsy in me. I love all the many charms about you. Above all, I want my arms around you. Don't be a naughty baby. Come to mama, come to mama, do. Sweet embrace of you.
Listening to KPTZ 91.9 Radio Port Townsend. Welcome back. You're listening to the Hempsonian Institute of Higher Yearning. And today's program, we're talking and feeling about touch. Well, those were two lovely cuts, one by Billie Holiday and the other by Stan Getz. And the whole notion of feeling is also an internal experience as well. For we have an external experience of kissing that goes into our soul or our spirit, and then artists can transform that actually and have it come out of them in music. We think of Billie Holiday's great soul in her voice. That came from somewhere. And I think that pain and suffering can often be transformed. We talk about pain all the time, and why do we have pain, and why can't we be healed from pain, when really it's the pain that really creates the incredible power sometimes of artistic and creative expression. Music and poetry both transform pain into something else, and this is a poem called Tenderness by Stephen Dunn. Back then, when so much was clear and I hadn't learned what young men learn from women, what it feels like to feel just right, I was 23, she 34, two children, a husband in prison for breaking someone's head, yelled at, slapped around, all she knew of tenderness was how much she wanted it. And all I knew were back seats and a night or two in a sleeping bag in the furtive dark. We worked in the same office. Banter and loneliness leading to the shared secret that to help national biscuit sell biscuits was wildly comic, which led to my body existing with hers, like rain that's found its way underground to water it naturally joins. I can't remember ever saying the exact word tenderness, though she did. It's a word I see now you must be older to use. You must have experienced the absence of it, often enough to know what silk and deep balm it is when at last it comes. I think it was terror at first that drove me to touch her so softly, then selfishness, the clear benefit of doing something that would come back to me twofold, and finally, sometime later, it became reflexive and motiveless in the high ignorance of love. Oh, abstractions are just abstract until they have an ache in them. I met a woman never touched gently, and when it ended between us, I had new hands and new sorrow. Everything it meant to be a man changed, unheroic, floating.
Set the sails, I feel the winds are stirring. Towards the bright horizon, sail away. Cast your reckless dreams upon.
That tune was "Oh My God, Charlie Darwin" by a haunting band, Low Anthem, who records music in an empty pasta factory in Providence, Rhode Island. Charlie Darwin. Well, evolution has not brought us beyond the need for physical touch. We know that. We know that babies who are held adjust better to life, and the babies who are held as infants actually turn into touchers and cuddlers as adults. Animals, too, need to be touched and honored in their own bodies. I have a wonderful Arabian horse named Buddy who, one of the trainers I've worked with, says that horse is in love with his own body. And you can see it when he gallops across the meadow. But he also likes to be touched and not to be touched in certain places. And animals are incredibly sensitive to their physical surroundings. And I know that Buddy uses the hairs on his muzzle as a very important part of feeling his way through the world. Just the other day, I was lying down in the meadow and he came to visit me. And he felt very carefully around with his muzzle. I could feel his horse breath on my face. And then very carefully with his teeth lifted my hat off my head, started walking away with it and threw it up in the air, retrieved it again, threw it up in the air again, looked back to make sure I was watching, and then trotted away with it until he threw it so high in the air that he reared up and the hat came down and he galloped away.
I ride a big blue roan. I carry all I own in the pouches of my saddlebag with my bedroll tied behind. There's a prairie in the sky. I'll find it by and by. Hills of brown, yellow, to make a soul unwind. Touch the tall grass as I grow. Let the gentle western wind stay with me till the end, beside me till the day's done and the sun has settled low. I ride a big blue roan.
listening to KPTZ 91.9 Radio Port Townsend.
Yeah!
Oh, hi, Muffin.
Whoa! Can I say something on the radio?
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who've just joined us, Muffin has just joined us, one of our special pals. He's a little dog, and he likes to visit most every show.
I love this show. I really love it. I like this whole business about touching and patting. And I heard that business about Buddy chasing your hat. I saw that, too.
Well, Muffin, what have you been up to today?
Oh, a lot. But what I really want to know is if you could read that poem by that little boy who wrote about mad nude mommies.
Well, I don't know, Muffin.
Well, you're talking about kissing on the show. You could read that poem.
Well, Muffin, all right, just for you. This is a little acrostic poem written by Brian McGrath, fourth grade, from the Barrows School in Reading, Massachusetts, when I was in poet in residence there, and I had to keep it all these years later. He's probably a grown man by now, but he called the poem Mad Nude Mommies.
I love this poem. I love it. I love it.
Okay, shh, shh.
Okay.
Mad Nude Mommies. Big old beggars riding dogs like cowboys in the night sun are getting ready to take a bath in the water fountain. Naughty children at the nude camp across the street come out to watch the beggars. Mad nude mommies,
ha ha ha!
Muffin, mad nude mommies come to get their kids. Cats come to join the scene. Gangsters join the crowd with a fight. Rats come to take the trash. A policeman comes to stop the scene. Then the sad people go back to their homes. Hinges squeak as the doors to the camp close.
I love that. I love that poem.
It's a good poem, isn't it? Good old Brian. Made us all wonder where he came up with the idea for that poem. Mad nude mommies running around the nudist camp. Fits right in with the theme for today.
Oh, yeah. I knew a lot about feelings. Feelings. Come on.
Muffin, please don't sing that song.
All right. But can I just talk about Buddy and horses?
Well, Muffin, we've got a show to finish here. But, well.
That was Buddy, wasn't it?
Well, I think it might have been, Muffin.
Oh, look, it is Buddy, and he's got your red hat. He wanted to be on the radio, too.
Well, I guess we all want to be on the radio every now and then. For some people, sound is a lifeline. Raul Midon, a musician from New Mexico, was blinded in infancy. For him, the music is his sense of touch. This tune's called If You Gonna Leave.
Maybe I'm crazy, I can hear you, but you seem so far away. Maybe I'm lazy, or maybe we got lost somewhere in between the moments. Can't remember when the changes came and made this thing so sad. So if you're gonna leave, that's okay. But if you're gonna stay, let me say I wanna get it back, the love we had, before it gets too late. If you're gonna leave, that's okay. Now if you're gonna stay, then let me say I wanna get it back, the love we had, before it gets too late. Don't let it get too late. Time is illusion, and yesterday can be so far away. Here's to confusion, or maybe we will find somewhere out beyond the stars or in our hearts. There is a method to this madness that pertains. So if you're gonna leave, that's okay. But if you're gonna stay, let me say I wanna get it back, the love we had before. It gets too late if you're gonna leave, that's okay. But if you're gonna stay, then let me say, I wanna get it back, the love we had before it gets too late. It's getting to the point that I wanna do it right this time. I wanna hold you in my arms. I never wanna say goodbye again. Before it gets too late, if you're gonna leave, then that's okay. If you're gonna stay, then let me say, I wanna get it back, the love we had before it gets too late. If you're gonna leave, that's okay. But if you're gonna stay, let me say, I wanna get it back, the love we had before it gets too late. If you're gonna leave, if you're gonna stay, get it back before it gets too late. If you're gonna leave, baby, won't you stay? Back the love we had before it gets too late. If you're gonna leave, then that's okay. Oh, baby, won't you stay? I wanna get it back, the love we had before it gets too late. Now, if you're gonna leave, that's okay. Now, if you're gonna stay, then let me say, I wanna get it back, the love we had before it gets too late. Don't let it get too
late. Going to leave you today with a poem by Jack Gilbert, and it's called Music is in the Piano Only When It Is Played. We are not one with this world. We are not the complexity our body is, nor the summer air idling in the big maple without purpose. We are a shape the wind makes in the leaves as it passes through. We are not the wood any more than the fire, but the heat, which is a marriage between the two. We are certainly not the lake nor the fish in it, but something that is pleased by them. We are the stillness when a mighty Mediterranean noon subtracts even the voices of insects by the broken farmhouse. We are evident when the orchestra plays, and yet are not a part of the strings or brass. Like the song that exists only in the singing, and is not the singer. God does not live among the church bells, but is briefly resident there. We are occasional like that, a lifetime of easy happiness mixed with pain and loss, trying always to name and hold on to the enterprise underway in our chest. Reality is not what we marry as a feeling. It is what walks up the dirt path through the excessive heat and giant sky, the sea stretching away. He continues past the nunnery to the old villa where he will sit on the terrace with her, their sides touching, in the quiet that is the music of that place, which is the difference between silence and windlessness. Thank you. for joining me today. This is Christine Hemp, host of the Hempsonian Institute of Higher Yearning. Tune in next time, where we'll be exploring again the body through the senses and all the magic of the world around us, seen and unseen.
The Hempsonian Institute of Higher Yearning is created, written, produced, and hosted by Christine Hemp. It's co-produced and engineered by George Resendez. For further conversation, podcasts, set lists, and more, knock on the portal of the Hempsonian Institute online at www.hempsonianinstitute.com.